Welcome to the Morning by Morning podcast, where we discuss faith, relationships, and life advice. Grab a cup of coffee or your favorite cozy drink and start the day with us.
Good morning and welcome back to another episode of the podcast. Today I'm so excited because Marcy is with me. I have mentioned her, I think, in a couple of previous episodes, but today I'm going to be interviewing her about being a mom. So I'm excited about that. Thanks for joining, Marcy.
I'm glad to be here.
First, we're going to talk about what we're grateful for. And oh, good. I didn't write mine down. I am grateful. No, I've got something. I'm grateful.
You even have a spot to write it down.
I do. I usually write it down. I'm grateful that while we're recording this, there was just recently a winter storm, which if you live anywhere in the States, you probably heard about or were affected by it. And I actually got several days off of work, which was unexpected and very nice. I had time at home, and because the roads were unsafe, I just felt like not obligated to go do anything. And so I did lots of reading, cleaning, just chilled with my husband, watched TV. So I am grateful for that.
I have two, because I figured the first one's cheesy and you'd make fun of me for it. I am grateful that I am here because I'm visiting.
Yes.
I'm visiting Bailey in her hometown where she is living currently, a couple of hours from where I am. And I don't get to visit all that often because I've got a kiddo and because I'm lazy and don't want to drive 2 hours, which
no,
is not that
fair.
Bad. But I'm grateful to be here because we also had like 8 inches of snow, and my neighbor, my downstairs neighbor, and then my like next door neighbor both were like looking at me shoveling snow and like icing off my car. And they're like, are you going somewhere? You're not bringing the baby outside, are you? And I was like, no, I'm going for a girls weekend. And both of them immediately were like, oh yeah, get out of here. Run.
As you should.
And then my second one is that Theo is my son. He has officially mastered the art of picking food off the floor and putting it in the trash can instead of his mouth. So I'm very thankful for that.
Yeah, that's a good skill. So that actually is a good little segue because I'm excited to ask Marcy some questions about being a mom because I am not a mom. And I just feel like there's a lot that I can learn from her and that other listeners who also may not have kids or have younger kids than hers can learn from. So we've got some questions we're going to discuss, and we'll just see where it takes us. So, okay, first of all, what were your expectations about becoming a mom? Oh, my goodness.
You have a train near you.
Okay, I might have to cut that. So, my first question is, what were your expectations about becoming a mom?
I remember what they are. So, one of my expectations about becoming a mom was based on watching some of my college friends be moms, because I have Amy and Jenna, who I went to college with, and Jenna's on baby number 4 now. Mm-hmm. She's going to have her 4th baby. Amy's had 2. And so they don't live near me, but they have been stay-at-home moms for years now. And so I have heard about their mom life stuff, and they're very like traditional stay-at-home mom type of people. Like both of them even plan on homeschooling their kids. Mm-hmm. And everything. And so they do all these like great activities with their kids. I think they would probably object if they were hearing this and be like, we are not that awesome. We don't do all this stuff. But like they do. They do all these activities and have schedules and like go and do things, and they're teaching their kids all these skills. And so I expected that mom life would be somewhat like that. Like I like remember being in daycare and there being like centers and stuff. Mm-hmm. Like that. So I just imagined we'd have like structured times and schedules, I guess. I also expected that because I always knew that if I had a kid, I wanted to stay at home with him. And I expected that to be a hard transition because mm-hmm. I have a calling to youth ministry and I love working and I'm very type A personality. And so I was teaching before Theo was born and I knew that was going to be really hard. Like the whole last school year, I got pregnant at the beginning of the school year. And then Theo was born at the very end of April. And so I knew that whole year, like, this is going to be so hard. How am I going to give this up? Because I love my students. I love the, like, research and the process of, like, delivering a lesson, the actual delivering the lesson part, not the grading or the
right.
dealing with parent emails.
But the aftermath.
But I knew that was going to be really hard for me. And then the other one that I had this, like, unconscious expectation that I had talked about with other people before, but didn't realize I was still carrying it, was I expected to be a really bad mom because I have had a very tumultuous relationship with my own mom. And there's just a part of me, I think there's a part of everybody, that like when your parents are good or bad at something, you just expect that that should be your default.
Yeah.
For good or for bad. So I expected I was going to be a really bad mom. And I was afraid for a very long time of ever having kids because I was worried that I would be neglectful or abusive or something. And I didn't want to be that way. And I couldn't stand the idea that I would give someone a childhood like what I had, which sounds so horrible. I would never want to say that to my mom's face
because that's understandable. I know
that would make her feel awful. But so yeah, those are my expectations.
You kind of like implied this a bit while you were talking, but I wanted to know what of your expectations turned out to be true and which ones did not turn out to be true.
It turned out to be true that it was an adjustment going from working full time to being a stay-at-home mom. It was more true than I realized, I think. And I hate doing this because it's like what everybody can't stop talking about. And I'm really tired of hearing about the pandemic, but it really does not help that the city I live in had their shutdown 6 weeks before Theo was born. Mm-hmm. So from, I think I had 4 months of living in total quarantine isolation, like you even came to meet
That's
Theo.
So long.
Do you remember coming to meet
I him? Met him on the porch because we were trying not to breathe on everybody.
Right. Like, you guys had masks on. You were in lawn chairs 6 feet away from us. Yep. And, like, he'd been born for a while. Like, it was
a few weeks probably.
Yeah. But, like, we didn't have – family didn't come to meet him until he was 10 weeks old. So it was, like, 4 months into the pandemic before we had someone actually inside of our house or someone to help hold the baby or whatever. And so – it was a combination of like mom life didn't like look like as far as schedules and all that kind of stuff. That's something that didn't turn out to be true. But mom life didn't look like the way it was supposed to look in any way. And I didn't ever get to say goodbye to my students because I wasn't supposed to be on maternity leave yet. And when the pandemic hit, and so I never got to like give my parting lessons to them. I didn't get to like say goodbye in person, or even I didn't even get a chance to tell them that I was leaving. Like,
yeah,
they didn't even know.
I didn't think about that because it shut down before you left.
Yeah, it shut down right before spring break. My last day was St. Patrick's Day and I was a Bible teacher. So I decided to do something fun that day and we were just going to do a St. Patrick's Day party and we were going to talk about who he actually was and what he actually did and whatever. So we just had fun all day. And I remember telling the kids, the rest of the world was panicking, but we were going to have our party anyway because they were like, are we still going to have treats? Are we still going to like do our party? Because all the other teachers were freaking out and canceling their lessons and whatever. And I was like, well, why not still have our party?
Yeah.
And so that's less. I never got to do like a goodbye for them. And I had to tell them over Google Classroom that I wasn't coming back the next year, even though I'd known before. I was waiting till after spring break because you don't want to tell kids too early that you're not coming back the next year.
And you want to tell them in person.
Yeah. So I never felt like I got any closure on saying, like, I already knew it was going to be hard leaving my job to stay at home, but I never got any closure on getting to close that chapter. Mm-hmm. So that turned out to be true. I was very right. It was very difficult. I think most women I've talked to have a hard time adjusting to being a stay-at-home mom because of just the expectations of society, and people don't talk a lot about what it's like to be a stay-at-home mom. And so everyone has expectations to adjust and just everything about your life changes. And so everyone has a hard time with it, but I had a hard time because of that, because I just loved my job.
Yeah.
But.
And then you had a new baby and
yes,
you couldn't like go out and about and do things just for to give yourself a break.
Which is what was different about my expectations. I was expecting to do more. Like, I thought we would go to like library story times and we would maybe find a mommy and me class or something to do together and we would have play dates and all kinds of stuff. But instead, there was no one around. Like, I think now people are having babies and it's not as big of a deal. And they're
right.
Like, a lot of people let their families. But 6 weeks into the shutdown, no one knew about how like at risk pregnant women were or if babies were going to get it or anything. And so my gynecologist and the pediatrician we'd picked out, everybody, like people at the hospital were like, don't you dare let anyone around him because babies aren't getting it, but he's not going to be the first one.
Right.
Like, it was terrifying.
And no one wants to be the one to get someone else's kid sick or anything.
So. Right. And so, yeah, we didn't have anybody. It was just us and we didn't have – libraries were shut down. Libraries – I still – like, Theo's never been to a story time ever. So they have like virtual ones, but like who's going to turn?
It's like you could just watch a video of audio. Like, yeah.
So he's never been to one of those. Like he's never played in a play place at Chick-fil-A or McDonald's or something. Mm-hmm. He's never done that. Like we did have play dates last year, but it has been a chore because where I'm living, everybody's a lot more like wear your masks, mm-hmm. isolate, whatever. Like a lot of people still haven't taken their kids out to grocery stores or anything like that. Like I was talking with someone last week who took her son to Party City, and that was the first store he'd ever been in. He's 2 years old.
Yeah.
He'd never been to a grocery store. Still hasn't. So like it was a chore getting people to do play dates. Like I always hated children. Never enjoyed them at all. And so it was very ironic because my church even put me in charge of the playdate ministry, mm-hmm. just because I was so desperate for getting to do things that I had expected to get to do as a mom. And I was so over the like isolation thing.
Right.
That I was like, whatever. I've never liked kids, but I'll be in charge of playdates because
I need friends too. Yeah.
So that was very different. Like the whole beyond like the like activities that we would get to do during the day, like also the expectation that we would have some kind of schedule and some kind of rhythm to the day. Like I was totally unprepared for how unscheduled life mm-hmm. with a newborn is. Like it was a struggle figuring out sleep and figuring out eating and like, I just never realized how much babies need to learn.
Yeah.
Like, cause I don't have any younger siblings or younger cousins. And I never like spent a lot of time with babies, like normal people in society with families do. So everything was, I was like, he has to learn how to poop. Like he didn't even know how to poop. Yeah. It was like me comforting him as he was trying to figure out what was happening to his body and why he's having these sensations. And I'm like, oh, I never realized you have to learn how to do everything when you're a baby. You don't know how to exist.
People don't talk. I mean, even other moms or now with social media, like I follow people who are moms that I don't know in real life, but like they share stuff. I'm like, this is just stuff you don't grow up hearing about or people don't teach you about.
Right.
I guess until you really, really need it.
Yeah. Well, and I feel like by the time that people do teach you about these things, they forget what it's like.
Mm-hmm.
Like they don't have any, they're like nostalgic about when their kids were little or whatever. Right. And they do not remember.
They've blocked out the
like they remember
the challenges.
Like Theo's going to be two soon. Mm-hmm. And so they remember the stage we're in now where he's like on one nap and, you know, he can feed himself and whatever. And then they don't remember that for the first 2 years, like he was changing how many naps he had like every other month.
Right.
Like, people don't remember how hard it was. And then the other one that did not work out, which I'm very thankful for, was I expected to be a bad mom and not like – it wasn't the front of my mind. I wasn't like convinced intellectually, but there was like a deep core belief that I was going to be bad.
Yeah.
And I actually feel like I'm a really good mom. Like I am very confident about my momming, even though, as I told you yesterday, I microwave most of our lunches. Like, and I don't know when the last time was that I mopped the bathroom, but
I don't think those are the qualifications for a good mom.
No, but I do watch other women sometimes and I'm like, how do you have sides with your meals that you make from scratch? and your house is actually clean when I'm just going to hope and pray that you were like scrambling to clean before I came over.
They probably were.
Yeah. But no, I feel like I'm doing a good job and Theo is really, I feel like he's very happy. He's very obedient. And a lot of that is just his disposition and the mm-hmm. way he would be. But I also know that environment has a lot to do with kids and
definitely
the way that they act. And so I get a lot of people talking to me about how chill he is and how happy he is. And even though I know that a lot of that is just his disposition, I also know that I'm having an impact on that because I've kind of figured out what he needs and I'm making sure that he gets that. So
well, and I think the way you're parenting is also encouraging his disposition, whereas like if you were chaotic to him and not like you said, he's chill. Like I feel like from what I've seen, and I'm not around you all the time, but like you are chill with him, you are patient. So that's going to encourage those parts of his personality. So it's definitely still you too, I think.
Thank you. I get a lot of people telling me I'm a good mom and I feel so awkward being like, thanks. I have to give disclaimers like, I'm not as perfect as you think I am.
Well, no one thinks perfect, but right. I think, and I'm not a mom, so I don't know all of the challenges and stuff, but I know just being around you or seeing like videos and stuff that you send, I'm like, you're encouraging him to learn things on his own and you are patient with him. Like all these things that I think you're letting him, the good traits in him come out, I think. So I don't know. That's what I see.
Thanks. It's good to know that I'm not just fooling myself.
No, but I think it's okay to be confident in what you're doing too. Right. That's a good thing. My next question is, what has been the biggest blessing of being a mom so far?
So I was journaling these questions the other day to like know what I even think about these things, because they're very like well done, open-ended questions. And I was like, oh gosh, this is a big question. And I just feel like everything is so cheesy, but it's true. So that's okay. I just wrote Theodore is the biggest blessing. Mm-hmm. His name means gift of God. And I just feel like every single day I think about how blessed I am with him. It's so cheesy.
That's okay.
So I've been watching a lot of Once Upon a Time, as you know.
Yes.
And catching up on that fad that I missed. And, you know, there's a lot of like talk about true love and true love's kiss and true love can break any curse and all this mm-hmm. stuff. And I've never had true love in any relationship like I have with Theo. And it is so cheesy, but it does feel like the fairy tale level of true love, like the kind that you see in the movies that you're like, oh, well, you know, the movies don't show like the financial struggles of this couple, or the movies don't show like
that's true
the genetic problems with this parent-child relationship, or, you know, whatever, all these different like obstacles get thrown in our way that make relationships not perfect like in the movies. Except I'm in the honeymoon period, maybe for mm-hmm. I'm still there for the first 2 years, maybe like when he's a teenager and we get in a fight and he hates me or something, I'll change my mind. But for right now, it feels like fairy tale true love. And he's just great. I hear moms all the time in public complain about their kids, like in front of their kids. Mm-hmm. I'll be at the thrift store or something and someone will be in line and it's like I'll look at them and just accidentally make eye contact or something, and they feel the need to tell me like their kid is, oh, this is so exhausting or whatever. I hear people like, I need a cup of wine or something, mm-hmm. or a glass of wine. I don't know. I don't drink, so I don't say things like that. And I can't relate at all. Like I never can. I never know what to say to those women. Like, oh, I'm sorry, I guess.
Sorry, you don't like your kid.
There was one time I was in line to check out somewhere and someone complimented Theo or whatever. And I said, yeah, he's such a great kid. And she had her son with her. And she said, yeah, he is too. And I like, that's when I realized I hear people complain about their kids all the time.
Because it was surprising.
It was surprising that she said that. Like, yeah. And his, like, she, like, you could see clearly that they had a bond because he's like maybe a 9-year-old or something. Mm-hmm. And he just is standing there smiling next to his mom, being like in line with her. And like, they've got like such a peaceful atmosphere between the two of them. And so like, you could tell he knew that his mom genuinely thought he was a good kid.
Yeah.
And I hear people complain about that all the time. I just cannot relate to that.
That's a good thing.
So he's the biggest blessing. I feel like I'm obsessed with him. Like, I don't know how many times since I've got here last night, I've said to you like, oh, he can say clock now. Oh, this. Like, my husband is like sending me updates about what's going on with him because they're having a daddy and him weekend. And mm-hmm. I'm over here just like obsessed with him even when I'm not around.
That's a good thing.
And I literally, like, being a stay-at-home mom, I literally do watch him all the time. But right. I never get tired of watching him. I don't think I would ever get tired of him. Like, every single thing he does fascinates me.
Yeah.
Like, I've never been interested in other people's kids. I never liked kids. But with him, I could watch him, like, just change his facial expression while looking at a block. And I'm like, that is so fascinating. Like,
well, because you, I mean, I don't know because I don't have kids. But, like, you have seen from the beginning when he literally was dependent on you for everything, like each skill he's learned, you're like, whoa. Whereas other people's kids, you see them like at a certain stage and you yeah. didn't see them like learn those skills. They just are the way they are when you meet them. So I think you're like noticing everything because you met him when he literally couldn't do any of that.
That's true. That's true. Yeah.
That is interesting.
I even wrote in here, like, as far as like, I never get tired of watching him. I'm so sorry, by the way, for like the billions of hours of Snapchats that you've gotten of videos of him, about him doing stuff that probably
adorable.
Any sane person would watch these videos and be like, why am I watching 5 minutes of him playing with a block? He's not doing anything interesting. And I'm just like, wow.
Amazing.
But when he was littler, like when he was not able to walk and still baby, I think of him, I call him a baby all the time, mm-hmm. but he's a toddler and he's right. becoming a little boy, but I still think of him as baby. But when we would put him to bed, even after like being absolutely exhausted and tired and feeling like I haven't showered in days and I don't know when the last time I ate something that wasn't like microwavable or sugar, I would finally put him down. I would look forward to it all day, like the next nap, the next sleep period. I'd put him down and then I would go and I would like sit next to Michael on the couch or something and we'd look at each other and be like, I want to go get him out again.
No, like I miss him.
It's like when you get a toy at Christmas when you're little and you're like, you just want to play with it all the time, except mm-hmm. obviously he's not a toy. But right. Like, I would think like, oh, I can't wait for him to go to sleep. And then all I would want to do is go in there and watch him sleep or something. Mm-hmm. Like, I am literally obsessed with him.
He's always going to be your baby, though.
Yeah, he is.
What, this is kind of on the other side of it, what has been the biggest challenge so far?
I think I wrote down more than one.
We will take them.
Maybe it was just one. I feel like there should be something deeper, and this is probably just particular to the fact that I have a 2-year-old or almost 2-year-old. Like, I would probably say something completely different at a different stage of parenting. Mm-hmm. But so far, in the 2 years that I've been a parent, it's been sleep deprivation.
Okay.
I know other people that do not have as big a reaction to sleep deprivation as I do, but I am a monster.
Like, well, those are the people probably that function on 5 hours of sleep perfectly, as much as 8 or 4 or whatever.
I just
like,
can't do that. I wrote a bad word that I'm probably not allowed to say on your podcast. I'm just not a nice woman.
Yeah.
When I don't get enough sleep. And Michael is not a nice man when he doesn't get enough sleep.
Michael's her husband, by the yes. way. You might have said that earlier. I don't remember.
I don't think I did. I ended up right after Theo was born, I developed insomnia, mm-hmm. which I don't know. Did I tell you that?
Maybe.
Like, it's like clinical insomnia, where like other people like say they have insomnia, but they've never.
It just means they're having trouble falling asleep. Yeah.
It takes them like up to half an hour or whatever. I literally have spent so many nights just laying there all night, completely awake.
Oh my gosh.
Combined with the fact that like I tried breastfeeding. Not even like if you don't breastfeed, you still have to get up several times a night to feed a baby a bottle or whatever. But mm-hmm. combined with like with trying to breastfeed and like literally kids do not know how to sleep. Like, they have to learn to connect sleep cycles. Like you go through cycles all night long, but as adults, we connect those sleep cycles. So you don't even recognize when in the middle of the night you rise to consciousness a little bit and then go back to sleep.
Right.
Babies don't know how to connect sleep cycles. And so like helping him learn to do that and learn to sleep and all of that, like combine that with insomnia, I was not sleeping at all. Like at all.
And yeah, you can't function if you're not getting any sleep.
And I could not follow Jesus. Like, I know that I should have some kind of faith that's like, oh, you know, Jesus takes care of everything. I have everything I need to thrive. Like, no matter what circumstance, I should be very like Paul. Like, I've learned the secret to being content in any and every circumstance, like even with sleep deprivation. Mm-mm. But reality is that I am not sanctified enough to be a Christian and not murder people and have sleep deprivation.
I don't think that that's ridiculous, though. Like, it's a basic human need, though.
Yeah,
to sleep enough. I have experienced nowhere near that level of sleep deprivation, and I get very cranky if I am tired, like just more tired than normal. If it's later than I usually stay up, I'm like, I have to go to bed right now, and I'm in a bad mood. So yeah. I can only imagine.
Yeah. No, I know, like I think of Jenna and Amy, and they have multiple kids, mm-hmm. and I've never heard them complain about sleep deprivation the way that I feel about sleep deprivation. And I know they do everything. Like, we've gotten to the point now where Michael's Grammy, mm-hmm. so great Grammy mm-hmm. now because of Theo, she gave me, like, I never do this. I never take, like, prescription medicine from other people. I never, like, take anything unless a doctor specifically told me personally that I need to take it.
Right.
Because I'm just one of those people. But she gave me a box of Midnight. It's like melatonin with like lavender and chamomile or whatever in it.
You probably don't need a prescription for that.
No, you don't. Oh, but like, okay. I think that's a normal thing
you can get. Yeah.
That's how obedient I am to doctors. Like, I have to have a doctor tell you to take it.
Okay. I was like, people take melatonin.
Yeah, no, they do. And I never had because mm-hmm. I was like, oh, doctors never told me to do that. So I'm not going to do that. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm convinced there's like, this is silly because I've as an adult come to realize that none of us know nearly as much as we pretend to our degree say we do. But I've come to be convinced that doctors have some secret knowledge about my unique biology, and that if I take something wrong, like, it's stupid.
You'll mess it up.
She gave me melatonin, basically, and I started taking it. And then also we're at the point now where Michael does everything in the night, because he can go change Theo's diaper and come back and go back to sleep. And I cannot do that, because the fact that I'm asleep in the first place is a miracle at this point. So I cannot, like, I can't rise too much to wakefulness.
Right.
Or I will not go back to sleep for hours.
And then you're in charge of him the whole rest of the day, the next day.
Yeah. A lot of, like, that first year of sleep I'm not sleep deprived anymore. But that first year, a lot of that was just me trying not to do violence to people.
You're doing the minimum. You're like, I will be a kind human.
Well, people just... maybe it affects me more than other people, but I think literally people do not remember what it's like to have kids that little. Like the number of times someone would say something to me like, oh, just sleep when the baby sleeps. I literally
I'm not even a mom, and I've heard people say that a million times.
If we didn't have social distancing and people didn't have to stay 6 feet away from me when they said those kinds of things, I would be in jail.
They'd be in danger.
Yes. No, really though. Like that and like... Oh, what was the other thing I was going to say? There was something else that people tell you, not just sleep when the baby sleeps, but I don't know. People every time that I actually did have an opportunity to meet up with someone for lunch or do something, and people would be like, well, when's his nap time? Now I can tell you when his nap time was. Last year, I could tell you when his nap time is. But for the first year, the fact that people could not remember that, like, I don't know when his nap time is.
You have to,
His nap time is going to be whatever his wake window is, like an hour and a half after he woke up last time. And I can't predict when he's going to wake up. So I don't know. Like, I was very salty and horrible. And
maybe other people did experience that level of sleep deprivation and they've kind of blocked it out because, like you said, like now you're in a stage where that's not so much the case. So maybe they got to that point and they're like, it's fine.
They had to have, because I think I've told you before, we we got like an old fashioned camcorder instead of using our phones and took videos. And there's a video of Mother's Day 2020. It was the first time that we left the house ever. We still didn't meet up with people. We were still isolating, but we drove to a neighboring town to get food that we liked. And we literally just, the whole adventure was pulling up.
Just picking it up.
Michael picking it up and us getting back in the car and going home. Like, that was our getting out of the house for the first time ever.
Yep.
And we took videos of us pushing him in the stroller to go, he didn't go inside or anything, but just to go up to the shop, because it was one of those that has shops all up and down the street. So there's not a parking lot or whatever, and they weren't carrying it out. So anyway, we took a video of that, and it wasn't until 6 or 7 months later that we were backing up all these videos and watched it. And we had no memory of it at all. We're watching it and we're like, what happens next? I don't have any memory of this.
That's funny. Okay, well, we're going to pause there and we'll actually continue in part
Stop
2.
Stop with all the bad things.
No, it's fine. Okay, so if you're listening, we've got some positive questions coming up. No, but you share a lot of positives
everyone,
too.
Everyone that's listening is like, I will never have kids. Sleep deprivation sounds horrible.
Just wait for part 2. You'll hear some positives as well. Thank you, Marcy, for joining. And we will have part 2 out next week. Thanks for listening.
Thank you again for listening to another episode of the podcast. If you want to give feedback on this topic, share other topics you want to hear about, or share what you're grateful for, you can follow the Instagram page, Morning by Morning Podcast. I would love to hear from you. Remember to find something to be grateful for today.